Okay, so we're dealing with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember, we saw a big stira. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah allows the Baal Keri to say brachas. It would seem to be that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of this entire Takonas Ezra. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, it sounds like a Baal Keri is allowed to say Divrei Torah. What about the drosha of Smuchin? We dealt with that. He uses that for something else. So if you remember, the big question that we learned yesterday was with regard to this Mishnah that we found. We had a Mishnah that says, what happens if you have somebody who is doubly tummy? Doubly tummy. Now, that's clear that somebody who is tummy long-term, meaning a week, he is definitely not subject to this issa of saying Divrei Torah. We could hardly forbid him to say Torah or brachas for an entire week. And we can't tell him to go to the mikveh because it doesn't help to go to the mikveh because he's tummy for 7 days. That's clear that the issa was never said then, and it was only said for a short-term tummy. So then we can tell him, go into the mikveh, and then you can say Divrei Torah. So the question became, so what happens if somebody is tummy twice? He is also a zov, which means that's a long-term tumah. He is also a Baal Keri, which is a short-term tumah. Now, if he goes into the mikveh as a zov and also a Baal Keri, he is not going to become tohir completely. He will remove the Baal Keri aspect, but the zov aspect will have to remain. Why? Because zov is tummy for 7 days at all costs. So if you remember, the Mishnah told us that a zov who is a Baal Keri, or a woman who is a nidah, so she's also tummy for 7 days, whatever happens. Even if she goes to a mikvah 1,000 times during those 7 days, it's not going to help. She is tummy. But if she is a poiletes shichvas zera, then that's a short-term tuma, which she could indeed get rid of by going into the mikvah. So this is the question. What do you do with a man who is a zov and a Baal Keri, or a woman who is a nidah and a poiletes shichvas zera? We then also spoke about somebody who is a mashameshes, beras, or dam nidah. We'll come to that shortly. And the Mishnah said that these people who are tomei twice, the halacha is they need to go into the mikveh before saying divrei Torah. Now we must bear in mind, this is of course a tremendous chiddush. Why is it a tremendous chiddush? Because they will go into the mikveh not actually coming out completely tohir. You might therefore have said, listen, it's all or nothing. You can't go into the mikveh and do a half job. And yet, the first opinion, we'll call that the Rabbonon, is not concerned about that. If you're a Zov and a Baal Keri, or if the Isha is a Nido and also a Poileta Shichos Zera, she should and he should go into the mikveh, and at least the short-term tumor will be alleviated. Then you can say Divrei Torah. However, Rabbi Yehuda poita. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, do not go into the mikveh. Why? As we just said, because you're not going to achieve complete tahara anyway. That was the end of the Mishnah. Now, if you remember, this is where we left off with yesterday. Why is this an enormous question? Because let's not forget, Rabbi Yehuda was the opinion that held that a Baal Keri never has an issa to say Divrei Torah in the first place. So why is Rabbi Yehuda getting involved in this complicated case of a Zov who's also a Baal Keri, or a Nida who's also a Poileta Shichva Zera? Why does Rabbi Yehuda need to say that they do not go into the mikveh? They're allowed to say Divrei Torah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're allowed to say Divrei Torah anyway, because the whole issa is a non-starter. That was the big question of the Gemara. What are we trying to prove from over here? It sounds like that in fact, and this is the contradiction, it sounds like that really Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Baal Keri is Osur B'Divrei Torah. he does hold the Takanas Ezra. And that's why he needs to be mechadish to me that in the case of the double tumah, that's an exception. But clearly you see from the exception what the rule is. The rule seems to be that essentially he does hold of the Takanas Ezra, which is a complete contradiction to what we learned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda seems to allow you to say brachas and Torah, no problem whatsoever. That's the kasha that we left off with yesterday. So have a look at the third line, the third wide line of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ad Kaan, Loi Potter Rabbi Yehuda. It would seem to be that Rabbi Yehuda only exempted you. Elo Bezov Shero'o Keri. The only case he exempted you is in the case of somebody who is initially a Zov and cannot become Tohir, and then became Keri, Demei Kora, Lav, Bal, Tvilahu. Because from the outset, he is not a Bar Tvila. What does that mean, he's not a Bar Tvila? He cannot Tovel in the Mikvah because he anyway is Zov. So that's when Rabbi Yehuda exempted. With the obvious implication being, Aval, Bal Keri, Greider. What does that mean, Bal Keri, Greider? Somebody who is a Bal Keri alone without being a Zov on top of it? Mechayev, question mark. It would seem to be that Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev, the person to go into the mikveh. And this is, of course, the big stira. Now, let's continue. Says the Gemara, the Chi Tema. And if you're going to suggest the following, you might suggest the following teretz. That really, hu hadin, the same din would apply according to Rabbi Yehuda, afilu, bal keri, greider, nami, potter. You might want to suggest to me that no, you're making the wrong deal in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda exempts from tvila in every single case, both in the case of the double tumah, but even in the case of the single tumah, he exempts from tefillah because he simply does not hold of Takanas Ezra. That's what you might suggest. Dafilu balkeri greida nami potter Rabbi Yehuda. Vahai dekom miflegi bezov shero'o keri. So why are they discussing the case of the double tumah? Why would Rabbi Yehuda need to express his opinion in the case of the double tumah? After all, even in the case of a single tumah, he also says you don't need to go into the mikveh. So why are they having a discussion about a double tumah? And the answer to that could be, lohoidiacho koichon derabonon, in order to tell you the koyach of Rabbonon. The Rabbonon were the first opinion in this Mishnah. What did they say? That even when you are a double tummy and going into the mikveh is only going to be a partial tahara, nonetheless, you've got to go into the mikveh. So maybe that's why they're discussing the double tumah, not to bring out the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda exempts you in every single case. You're looking at the wrong opinion. The chiddush over here is the chiddush of Rabbonon, that not only when you have a single tumah and the mikveh will indeed help you become tohir, are you obligated to go into the mikveh, but even in the case of the double tumah, where the mikveh is not going to help you become tohir completely, nonetheless, the rabbanon hold, you've still got to go to the mikveh before you say divrei Torah. So if that's the case, we have answered our question. There is no stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda exempts from going to the mikveh in every single case, whether you are a double tomei or a single tomei. He simply does not hold of Takanas Ezra. If you want to know why we're busy discussing, therefore, a complicated case of a double tomei, the answer is in order to bring out a chiddush, not on Rabbi Yehuda's behalf, but rather on the behalf of Rabbonon, that even though you are a double tummy, and the mikveh will not be able to get rid of both, you are still osa to say divrei Torah until you go to the mikveh and at least get rid of one tumah. But don't be medayek from over here that Rabbi Yehuda would essentially hold of Takanas Ezra. No, he doesn't hold of Takanas Ezra. Single tumah, double tumah, he never holds of it. Fine, so everything is good. At this stage, we're more than happy to say that Rabbi Yehuda, as we always have understood, simply does not hold of Takanas Ezra, period. Where do we get stuck? We get stuck now in the third case. We spoke about double tumah. Now, what was the double tumah that we spoke about? And here, Rabbi Isai, you have to halt cop. We had a case of a zov who became a keri. What does that mean, a zov who became a keri? That means he was initially tumah for how long? A zov is a 7-day tumah, and he then became, on top of that, another tumah, he became a keri. The feminine version of that is, if a woman is a tumah nidah, again, tumah for 7 days, she then becomes a poileta shechvazera, that is a 1-day tumah slapped on a 7-day tumah. What would be now in the other case? What would be in the other way around? What happens if somebody, an isha, for example, has relations with her husband? She's a meshameshes. If she is a meshameshes, she'll have a 1-day tumah. After that, she became a nidah. So now we're reversing the order from what we had before. Initially, we spoke about people, either a man or a woman, who were a 7-day tumah. On top of that, landed a single day tumah. Now we're talking about the reverse scenario. This is the last case of the Mishnah. She was Meshamesha, she had relations, she became a single day tumah. And then all of a sudden, she becomes a Nidah, so it's a 7-day tumah. Now, essentially, that's exactly the same case as what we've been talking about till now. Meaning, if she would go into the mikveh now, what would happen to her? She wouldn't become tamei completely. She can't, because she's just become a nidah. So she's going to be tamei for 7 days, whatever happens. But she would be able to get rid of at least her 1-day tumah. So what's the difference between this case and the cases we've discussed till now? The cases we've discussed till now were a 7-day tumah, which then got added to with a 1-day tumah. And now we're talking about a 1-day tumah and then became a 7-day tumah. And it says in the Mishnah there, same machlokes. According to the Rabbanon, she's got to go to the mikveh. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, she does not need to go into the mikveh. Now, the Gemara is going to make a cheshbon. I'd like to explain the cheshbon before we see it in the Gemara, because otherwise we might get a bit confused. But Rabbi Yisai, you have to hold cop. If we go slowly, stage by stage, we'll see it's extremely simple. Rabbonon told me that whenever you have a double tumah, a 7-day tumah and a 1-day tumah, such that going into the mikveh will not make you completely tahor, nonetheless, you've still got to go into the mikveh before you say divrei Torah. That was the chiddush of the Rabbanon. It's a tremendous chiddush. What's the point of going to the mikveh if you're not going to become completely tohir anyway? Nonetheless, they said, at least you'll get rid of the short-term tumah, and then you can say divrei Torah. Fine. Now, the cases that we've been discussing till now, which tumah landed first? The 7-day tumah. So let's talk about a man. Let's home into one case. A man became a Zov. So he's Tomei for 7 days. Now, press pause. At this stage, before he becomes a Baal Keri, he's now a Zov. Can he go into the mikveh now? Absolutely not. Total waste of time. Because he's Tomei for 7 days. Is he allowed at this stage to say Divrei Torah? Yes, he is. Because that was never the takana of Ezra. The takana of Ezra was only for those who mikveh can do something for them. Fine. All of a sudden, he suddenly becomes now, on top of the Zov, he becomes a Baal Keri. What did Rabbanon say? Sorry, close the Gemara. Do not say Divrei Torah. Rather, go into the mikveh. What's that going to do for me? That's not going to get rid of the Zov. Okay, but it'll at least get rid of the Baal Keri. So again, the 7-day Tumah took effect first. The short-term Tumah took effect second. And the Rabbanon said, you've got to go into the mikveh. Reb Yehuda disagreed, but Rabbanon said, you've got to go into the mikveh. Now let's flip the order. Same case, just the opposite way around. What happens if the person was first a Baal Keri? So as soon as he becomes a Baal Keri, what's his halachic status at this stage? He's Tomei. Can he learn Torah according to the Rabbanon? Absolutely not. This is Takanas Ezra. He's got to go to the mikveh. He's just on his way to the mikveh, and suddenly he becomes now a Zov. He becomes a 7-day Tumah. So again, he's got two separate Tumois on him, but as opposed to the first case where the Zov took effect first, here it took effect second. If I were to ask everybody here, he was initially a Baal Keri. At that stage, the Rav told him, he's got to go to the mikveh. He then became a Zov. If you were to ask the Rabbanon, does he still have to go to the mikveh? What would we say? Absolutely yes. Now, would you agree, and this is the point, Rabbi Yisai, would you agree, Rabbi Yisai, you have to hold cup over here, would you agree that this second case is less of a chiddush? It's overwhelmingly obvious that he's got to go to the mikveh, and I'll explain why. In case number one, where the 7-day Tumah took effect first. At that stage of the game, would he have had to go to the mikveh? No. And yet, when he became a Baal Keri afterwards, what did the Rabbanon say? You've got to go to the mikveh. So wouldn't you agree with me that I can make a Kal Vachomer? If in the case where the first Tumah to land on his head was a Tumah that's not subject to Takanas Ezra, mikveh is never going to help. And nonetheless, once he became a Baal Keri afterwards, all of a sudden the Takanas Ezra kicks in. Wouldn't you agree that I would say Kal Vachomer if the first Tumah he had on his plate was actually a Baal Keri and then he became a Zov? I would say, obviously he's got to go to the mikveh. He was always mechuyev to go to the mikveh from the very first moment. The new tumah that happened afterwards is not going to cancel the initial chiyev to go to the mikveh. Isn't that a kal vachomer? If already when you were a zov, so you've got no chiyev of mikveh, and yet you became a Baal Keri, so that created a chiyev, Kal Vachomer, when you had a Chiyuv from the beginning, the fact that you became a Zov, that's not going to cancel the Chiyuv. So Rabbeisai, once you agree with that, everything now is plain sailing. The Mishnah, as I mentioned, said three cases. Cases number one and two were exactly the same, just one for a man, one for a woman. A 7-day Tumah followed by a single short-term Tumah. And the Rabbanon said, both he or her have to go to the mikveh. But then the third case was the short-term tumah followed by the long-term tumah. She was a mashamesha, she then became a nidor. And you know what it says? That she has to go to the mikveh. Is that a chidush at all? According to the way we've just explained, that's not a chidush. That's a kal v'chaimah. Because the first tumah that landed on her head was what? She was a mashameshes, a short-term tumah. Obviously, she has to go to the mikveh. When she became a nidor afterwards, that's not going to cancel her chiyuv to go to the mikveh. So the big question becomes, why on earth is the Mishnah teaching me this case? Why is the Mishnah telling me that when you have a short-term tumah followed by a long-term tumah, that the Rabbanon say you have to go to the mikveh? Obviously, you have to go to the mikveh. There seems to be zero chidush in that line. And the inescapable conclusion would have to be that, you know why the Mishnah is telling me that case? Not to tell you a chidush according to the Rabbanon. It's overwhelmingly obvious. So it must be coming to tell me a chidush in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda exempts you from going to the mikveh even in that case. What do I mean even? Even though the first tumah to land on your head was the short-term tumah, which would have sent you to the mikveh. But once you then also became a long-term tumah, that cancelled the chiyuv mikveh. That's the only way we can read the Mishnah. Well, then I'm very sorry to tell you, what have you just told me? That Rabbi Yehuda holds that a short-term tumah does have to go to the mikveh. And the only case Rabbi Yehuda exempts you is when you have a double tumah. So therefore, we are back in the soup. We therefore seem to have a mafurish Mishnah that tells you that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a Baal Keri has to go to the mikveh. And the only case he exempts you is when there's a double tumah. Whichever tumah landed first, if at the end of the day you're a double tumah, Rabbi Yehuda says, then don't go to the mikveh and you can learn Torah. But if you were only a single short-term tumah, you would then have to go to the mikveh. And that is an absolute steerer to the Mishnah that we began with that says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Takonas Ezra. That is the kasha of the Gemara. So let's have a look how the Gemara says it. Look at the third bottom line. Says the Gemara, Eima Sefer. What about the Sefer? It says there, Hamashameshes v'ro'as odam. She had relations and then she became a nidor. Tzricha tvila. So it says that she needs to go to the mikveh. But Rabbi Yehuda exempted. Now, leman katanila. According to whom is this stated? Meaning, what is the chidush of this line? If you're going to tell me that this line was stated to tell you some sort of chidush in the Rabbanon, says the Gemara, I don't understand. There's no chidush. I can make a kal v'chaimer. Pshita, isn't it overwhelmingly obvious? Why is it obvious? Uma zov. If the case of the zov, who is the long-term tumah, Shira or Keri, who then became an additional short-term tumah. Dmi Ikara, right from the beginning, when he became a Zov, La Bar Tvilahu. He cannot go into the mikveh. And nonetheless, Mechayvi Rabbonon. The Rabbonon, nonetheless, are Mechayv him to go into the mikveh because afterwards, at the end of the day, he became a short-term tumah as well. Well, isn't it obvious? Hamashameshes v'ro'as odam. de meikora bas tvilahi. From the outset, she is able to go to the mikveh because the first tumah that landed on her was a short-term tumah. Isn't it like kol shekein, question mark? Isn't that obvious that you've got to go into the mikveh? After all, the first tumah that landed on you was a short-term tumah, and you were a bar tvila.
Then perhaps a day or two later, she would become perhaps a poleta shekvazera, and then she has a short-term tumor coming on after a long-term tumor, right?
So you're saying I'll be a third tumor?
Yeah, in other words, she goes to the mikvah for the first short-term tumor that was the maikara, and then she becomes a zava.
Right. And then, you're 100% right. If that would be the case, then you're right.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about for the moment, she's just got two tumors. First, Meshes, and then Nidah. So it's obvious she has to go to the mikvah. What on earth is the chiddush? Elolav, says the Gemara on the bottom line. We're forced to say that it must be a chiddush according to who? According to Rev Yehuda. The Dafka Katoni Law. And that's what Rev Yehuda is telling you. Dafka in this case. In the case of when she was a short-term tumor, followed up by a long-term tumor, then eina sricha tvila aval balkeri greda. But if she was merely a balkeri, a simple short-term solitary tumor, then mechayev question mark. So we see Moirav Raboisai to have hit a brick wall. We have proved from the Mishnah, there is no other way to learn, that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Takonas Ezra. And that a Balkeri, at least is a Balkeri grader. What does a Balkeri grader mean? If he is merely a Balkeri, if he's got the double tumor problem, fine. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, don't bother going to the mikveh because it's all or nothing. But at least we can be medayek that if you'd only have one tumor, what would be the halacha? You would have to go to the mikveh, which is another way of saying Rabbi Yehuda, after all, does hold of Takonas Ezra. So that seems to be a glaring contradiction to our Mishnah that says the Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Takonas Ezra and you're allowed to say brachas. Big stira. Look at Rashi at the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the second last Rashi, right at the bottom. Hashta Zov Shera'a Keri. If all Zov, who then became a Keri, Shekodmotoi, Tumas Haziva Meikora, that the Tumas Ziva was Kodmotoi. What does it mean, Kodmotoi? From the word Koidem. That came first, right from the beginning. De Meikora Besha'a Shera'a Keri, Lav Bar Tvilohu. If somebody initially becomes a short-term tumor, when they initially became a balkeri, if they were resolved, then lav bar tvilahu, and nonetheless, o machayvile rabbonon tvilah, and nonetheless, the rabbonon machayev tvilah lekeriyav ledivrei Torah. Top Rashi. So therefore, meshameshes v'roas onida. Over there, the Tumas Keri Kodma, because it was the short-term Tuma, or Kesheroasa HaKeri, and when initially she saw the Keri, Re'uya Hoysa Litboil Miad, she was perfectly able to go to the mikveh then, because it was a short-term Tuma. Is Lo Kol Shekein? Isn't that obvious, therefore, that even if she becomes a Nida afterwards, she still has to go to the mikveh, says Rashi, Deloi Asya Tumas Nida, because the later Tumas Nida is not going to come along, Shehi Achroina, which is at the end, Umafka'a. and cancel, it's not going to cancel the tefillah sheneschayva bo kvar, which she has already been obligated in. Why has she already been obligated in it? Because her first tumah was the short-term tumah. So it can't be a chiddush according to the Rabbanon. El olav, says Rashi, it must be a chiddush to Rabbi Yehuda. El olav, Rabbi Yehuda, katani lo hidiacha, in order to teach you. Dafi lu heicha de kodam hakeri, to tell you this chiddush, that even when the tumas keri came first, and at that stage of the game, she was able to go to the mikveh, but the second tumah cancels it. Asya comes along, the tumas nidol umafka'a, and it cancels the tefillah. Why does it cancel the tefillah? Remember, this was Rabbi Yehuda's big opinion. It's all or nothing. You cannot go to the mikveh unless it's matah you completely. De'ein tevila elo hamataheres. You can only go to tovel if it really will be matahir you in its entirety. There's no such thing as half tovel. Now, 1 second. Ve'ile Rabbi Yehuda lesle takonas Ezra. If you're going to try and suggest, as we thought until this point, that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of takonas Ezra, so why is he teaching you this strange case? If Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Takanas Ezra, why on earth would he need to teach you some complicated chiddush about a double tumah who doesn't need to go to the mikveh? You never need to go to the mikveh. Ba'kol bali kerian nami. Surely Rabbi Yehuda holds that all Balei Kerian do not need to go to the mikveh to Divrei Torah. So what's going on? If Rabbi Yehuda really holds that there's no such thing as Takanas Ezra, and that every Balei Kerian in the world does not need to go to the mikveh to say Divrei Torah, so why did he have to walk into the Beis HaMedrash one day and tell us, Rabbeisa, I've got a big chiddush to tell you. Okay, let's hear the chiddush. That if somebody is a double tumah, they don't need to go to the mikveh to say Divrei Torah. That's not a chiddush. They never have to go to the mikveh because you don't hold a Takanas Ezra at all. So what's the inescapable conclusion? It must be, and this is the big kasha of the Gemara, we can arrive therefore at the irrefutable proof, non-disputable, it must be Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Takanas Ezra. And if you were merely a Baal Keri, you would have to go to the mikveh. Ah, so then I understand. That's why he needs to be mechadish to me. If this man or the woman is a double tumah, then they don't need to go to the mikveh, fine. But essentially, single tumah, what will be the halacha? You would go to the mikveh, says Rashi Hilkoch, al korchoch dafka katani lo. So it must be dafka. Don't make any lav dafka out of this. This is definitely dafka. We seem to have absolute proof that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Takanas Ezra. And we have now, Moirav Raboisai, hit a huge brick wall. So where are we with this stage? Let's just very briefly summarize. We go all the way back to the Mishnah we began with. The very first Mishnah we began with says, according to the Tanakhama, a Baal Keri does not say Divrei Torah. He does not say Brachas. He's got to go to the mikveh. And what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he can say brachas. So how did we understand Rabbi Yehuda until this point? Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Takanas Ezra. That seems to be the simple way to learn the Mishnah in the Chaf on the base. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Takanas Ezra, and that's why you're allowed to say brachas. Well, the big question that we've just arrived at is we've just proved from a Mishnah that actually Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Takonas Ezra. And if somebody is a Balkeri, Rabbi Yehuda does agree that you've got to go to the mikveh. And the only case he exempts you is which case? Is the complicated case of when you're a double tumah. Because then the mikveh is not going to be matari completely. Fine, that's the exception to the rule. But what seems to be the rule, according to Rabbi Yehuda? He does hold of Takonas Ezra. That is a stira to our Mishnah.
So would you not have to say that the only way to understand our Mishnah is to understand Rabbi Yehuda was talking about this complicated case? We have to cut and paste this case back to the original Mishnah.
Okay, good teretz, very good teretz. So we could in theory say that the Mishnah wasn't talking about the regular Balkari, it was talking about the complicated Balkari. Right. Could be. But either way, then you are still telling me that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Takanas Ezra. That's what you're suggesting. Why does the Mishnah therefore say you can say brachas? Well, maybe that's talking about the complicated case, which is obviously a big chidush, because the Mishnah doesn't tell me that. The Mishnah simply says Baal Keri. Doesn't say a Baal Keri who's also a Zov. So therefore we're left with a big question. Why is Rabbi Yehuda allowing the Baal Keri to say brachas in the Mishnah? Don't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Takanas Ezra. We have just proved that he does hold of Takanas Ezra. He only exempts you in the double tumah. But in the regular single tumah, he does hold of Takanas Ezra. Why is he allowing me to say the brachas? That is this enormous question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara on the second line, Loi tema mavarech elo maharher. You're quite right. We're going to have to edit the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda allows the Baal Keri to say brachas, what does it in fact mean? It should not be understood literally that he can verbalize the brachas. No, rather he has to think the brachas. Why can't he verbalize the brachas? Because you're 100% right. Rabbi Yehuda does indeed hold of Takanas Ezra. So what was the big question? If he really holds of Takanas Ezra, why is he allowing you to say the brachas? The answer is, he's not. He's not allowing you to say the brachas, rather just to think the brachas. Says Rashi, Loi tema b'masnisin mavorech. Don't tell me that in the Mishnah it literally means to be mavorech, to actually enunciate the brachas. Elo maharher, he merely thinks the brachas. So in the final analysis, we'll see. This is not quite the end of the sugya. We'll have to continue this Bezal Hashem next time. But at least we have brought this somewhat to a conclusion. We thought on the previous Omud, there is a machlokes about whether you hold of Takanas Ezra or not. It turns out everybody holds of Takanas Ezra, even Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda allowing you to say the brachas? He's not. He's telling you simply, think the brachas, but don't say them. It's Hashem. Next time, we'll carry on. Call to everybody.
Next time, we'll carry on.
Carry on. Shkoyach.
Avram, can you still hear me?